of Genesis, chapter 12. We'll read one verse there, and then we're going to skip over and read chapter number 13. Goings and comings and went and came. Look at verse 5, chapter 12 of Genesis. And Abram took Sarah, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all their substance that they had gathered, and the souls that they had gotten in Haran, and they went forth to go into the land of Canaan. And into the land of Canaan they came. We're looking at this matter of goings and comings and went and came. Over 200 verses in the Bible contain those two words together. We're going to look tonight at Lot and Abraham. And I call it the goings and comings and the view thereof. The things they were privileged to see. And that true of you and I? Aren't you glad for your eyes? And most of where you're at and what you've gone through is as a result of what you saw first. They're not the only ones that went and came. The Bible tells us, of course, about Ruth and Naomi and David and Elijah and Jonah. And Jesus himself came and then went back to the Father. Life is made up of goings and comings and went and came. And as I say, it's not a bad thing. It just depends on where you're going and where you came from. But let's look down through chapter 13. They went and they came when it into Canaan, that promised land. And Abraham went up out of Egypt, he and his wife and all that he had, and Lot with him into the south. And Abram was very rich in cattle and silver and in gold, and he went on his journeys from the south even to Bethel unto the place where his tent had been at the beginning between Bethel and Ai. Unto the place of the altar which he had made there at first, and there Abram called on the name of the Lord. And Lot also, which went with Abram, had flocks and herds and tents. The land was not able to bear them, that they might dwell together, for their substance was great, so that they could not dwell together. And there was strife between the herdsmen of Abram's cattle and the herdsmen of Lot's cattle. Verse 8. And Abram said unto Lot, Let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my herdsmen and thy herdsmen, for we be brethren. Amen. Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the left hand, then I will go to the right. Or if thou depart to the right hand, then I will go to the left. And Lot lifted up his eyes. I'm talking about the goings and comings of life and the view thereof. And beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was very well watered very everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. Even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest to Zoar. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east. And they separated themselves one from another. Abraham dwelt in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelt in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent toward Sodom. But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. Now Lot has took his view and chose accordingly. Along the journey of going and coming, he saw what he wanted. But that's not the end of it. Abraham's going to look at some things also. And the Lord said unto Abram, after the lot was separated from him, lift up now thine eyes, and look from the place where thou art, northward and southward and eastward and westward. For all the land that thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. And I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be numbered. Arise, walk through the land in the length of it and in the breadth of it, for I will give it unto thee. Then Abram removed his tent and came and dwelt in the plain of Mamre, which is in Hebron, and built there an altar unto the Lord. I want to read one more passage. Luke chapter 17, verse 28. You won't have to turn, or you can, through 30. The goings and comings of Abraham and Lot and the view thereof. Likewise also, as it was in the days of Lot, Luke 17, 28 through 30. They did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. I'm interested in this matter of the views that we see in the goings and comings and wents and cames of life. I'm thankful for the things that I have been able to enjoy through eyesight, aren't you? Esther and I have been privileged to visit 48 of the 50 states. We've been to Israel, we've been to Egypt, Greece, Ireland. We've been able to travel out west just recently. Monument Valley, Million Dollar Highway, some of those wonderful, beautiful places that are out there. We've seen the Niagara Falls, the Grand Canyon, Redwood National Forest, Glacier National Park, Yellowstone, and many, 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 many other things. I'm glad that God gave us eyesight. But at the same time, while eyesight is a great blessing, I would have hated to have to live without it, wouldn't you? I'm glad I was able to see Esther before I married her. I had one young fella I pastored years ago. He came up to me and he said, "Preacher, I'm going out on a blind date Saturday." I said, "Well, good." A couple of weeks passed. He never mentioned anything about it, so I thought I'd ask. I said, "Well, how'd the date go?" He said, "Well, it'd been a whole lot better if I'd have been blind." Sight is a great blessing, but it also can end up being a burden as to how you see things. Jesus spoke about the great avenues of temptation, and one of them was the lust of the eye. We must be careful because sometimes in our humanity, our vision can be cloudy. Our focus can be blurred. Sometimes our perception is little more than deception. It can be that it is tunnel vision. Have you ever got involved in purchasing something that you just thought you had to have when you looked at it and said, "Why'd I do that?" But I would say this, that if you're going to make a decision along life's journeys and the goings and comings, and we must, but if you're going to make a decision based upon how you see things, there are certain things that need to preface that. If anybody ought to have seen an optometrist before he made the move he made, it would have been Lot. But I want to step down through this. I'm talking about the growings and comings in all of our lives. We've all experienced it, but we got life to live and goings and comings to go through. But we must be cautious in how we choose life based upon how we perceive life, how we see it. So let me step down. I'm going to begin with Lot. We'll weave Abram into it because he has a chance to see some glorious things. I would say this first of all. A long life's journey, if you're going to make this decision that is going to affect your family, going to affect your future, going to affect everything about you. If Lot, let me be personal, if Lot is going to make this choice based upon what he sees, and which is going to involve him and his family and all of his future, I think first of all, he should have seen things like God sees them. He should have backed up and said, wait a minute, I don't know if I've got a clear vision of this. I need to talk to the Lord about it. Doesn't he have perfect vision? Doesn't God have complete vision? He sees things just exactly like they are. Call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Neither is there any creature that is not manifested in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him of whom we have to do. He should have stopped right there while he was looking in the distance along the journey and in his heart summing up a decision that's so important. And said, wait a minute. I need to see how God sees this. And somebody said, but how in the world can a man who is a man ever see things from such a lofty view? From God's view? Well, I'm glad to report to you that it is possible. You say, well, how could it be possible? Well, I know that the scripture tells us, look in verse 13. This is what heaven knew before he ever made the decision. But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. Now I know he didn't have a Bible, but the truth was still the truth in that day, and God could have shared that truth with him. Aren't you glad for a breathed word of God? Abraham didn't have a Bible, but he had a breathed word of God, the Holy Ghost. Those revelations from heaven. As a matter of fact, this Bible is nothing more than black on white unless it's breathed into you. Becomes a truth that you can see from your heart. Wait a minute, wait a minute. Hey, Lord! And let God show you some things. He sees further than you do. He sees clearer than we do. He sees deeper than we do. There was a word about this place already. A word about it. Hey, if I'd have got that word, I'd have never made that move. And this is not just gossip. It's not what neighbors are talking about where they took a vacation. They just spent a bad night in a motel and it wasn't good and there's roaches or something like this. No, no, this is heaven's word about this place. Don't you like the times when God has spoken to you at a moment of which you needed a word to keep you from making a drastic choice based upon how you see things?
He should have seen things how God saw them, and he could have. There was a word. But I'm going to tell you something else. There was a way also. There is two times, maybe three times in this scripture, but Abraham did it often. It speaks about an altar. Verse 18, once Abraham views this land and goes to this land that God showed him about, he built an altar there. But that wasn't he didn't build an altar after. He built an altar also before he ever went there. He found him a place to get upon his knees and spend some time along with the God of heaven so that he could let God talk to him in his word and he could talk to God in his worship. And the two could come together. Spending time with the Lord can give you some heavenly viewpoint on the matter. And we need that at the start, do we not? Thy word is a lamp unto my feet. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way by taking heed thereto according to thy word. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. It was the psalmist in Psalm 73 that was going through a very heavy ordeal. He was confused, but he said, until I went into the sanctuary of God, then understood I therein. He said, I couldn't see it just right until I got to where God was. I'm saying we don't have to eeny, meeny, miny, moe in the goings and comings of life and find ourselves just all messed up. We can get along with God and find out all we need to know. And the goings and comings from the view thereof. He needs to see what the Lord saw. Aren't you glad? I say again, for the times of which God showed you something. And honey, look what we got. It's full. This book is not all the mind of God, but this book is full of the mind of God. From birth to when you exit this world, God has a mind about that. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Seeing things as God sees it. Man, a young lady ought to let God look at that boy before she ever hooks up with him and say, Lord, how do you see him? I'm just looking at the outside. And a young man ought to let God view that young lady and say, now, Lord, how do you see her? Oh, what a difference it would make in so many lives if they first checked with the Lord before they made that choice based upon sight. But the second thing I would say to you is that if Lot is going to, and here I want to bring Abraham into this choice by sight. If Lot in the goings and comings and went and came is going to make this decision based upon sight, he should have not only seen things as God saw them, but he should have seen things like his uncle Abraham saw them. Think about that. Think about that. I used to like to watch or tape them and watch Pawn Stars. You ever watch Pawn Stars? But I guess you could lose a lot of money in an instant if you weren't careful with what you were buying. And I noticed they were always cautious about that because they would call in the experts on whatever this book was or this item was or this antique and let them tell them how they saw it before they even purchased it. And I'm sure it saved them a lot of money and saved them a lot of anxiousness about whatever the deal was going to be. But they was finding out how somebody else saw it that they figured could see it better than they do. And what better thing that he could have done than to go to his uncle Abraham and say, "Uncle Abe, I need to talk to you. I have seen, I've been looking, and I want to take you and I want you to look at this place that I'm seeing. I'm being pulled in that direction, and I want to know what you see when you look at it." Well, I'm going to tell you, there's nothing like godly counsel. Finding that person that you don't think's going to just necessarily agree with you. But going to that individual that you know walks with God, has something that is real, and setting them down and saying, "Listen, can I just lay this out before you, and I need some advice." Well, I mean, Abraham has walked with God and is called the friend of God, has a covenant with God. God made it with him. Wouldn't it have been wonderful if Lot had just went and sat down with him and said, "Uncle Abe, just tell me how you see this." Because I'm going to tell you something, if you're afraid to ask a godly person's advice on what you're fixing to do the wrong thing. Are you hearing me? Don't say, "Oh, I got this," or "My buddy told me it was okay." Well, you find somebody that knows God. And thank God that in your life, sitting in this way, aren't you glad you can look around and even reach and touch some people that you know God, that you can go and sit down and lay it out before them? Abraham didn't know at this point in time any more about Sodom and Gomorrah than what Lot did. There's no record of it in Scripture. Obviously, he's never been there either, so he's not going to jump the gun and act like he knows everything. The worst thing we can do as God's children is act like we know. It don't hurt to say, "I don't know." But Abraham has learned to live by some principles that are working any man's life, any woman's life, any place and any time, that you can use that no matter what you're looking at. And I think some of those principles would be laid out like this. Abraham would say, "Well, now, son, I ain't never been down there. I don't know anything about that place. But let me ask you two or three questions. First of all, what I want to ask you is, who showed you that? Who brought that to your attention? Who was it that pointed that out?" And I'm sure Lot would say, "Well, I don't know. I just look at it and it looked good to me. It had a pull to it to me." He would say to him, "Son, I'm going to tell you something. I ain't interested in anything that God doesn't point out to me." Did you read the text right there? Abraham had a vision. He could see some things. He had a view. And what a view he had. God said, "Abraham, come up here and look at it with me. I want you to look to the north. I want you to look to the south. I want you to look to the east. I want you to look to the west. You see all that, boy?" And God pointed it out to him. And here's what his thought would be. "Son, I'd be cautious about anything that God didn't speak to me about. If God didn't initiate this, you're probably into something you don't need to be into." Don't you love it when the Holy Ghost nudges you? Holy Ghost pulls you. Holy Ghost brings something to you. He said, "I live by principle. If God didn't point it out, I don't want it." But he said, "Now, son, secondly, I was thinking about that place that you're talking about. I don't know anything about it, but if God didn't point it out to me, I just wouldn't be interested in it." What a principle that is for all of our lives, to have somebody close that knows God, that It can give us some principles that are divine and they're godly to live by. But I think the second thing he would say is, let me ask you something. Do you own anything down there? Is your name on anything down there? I mean, you got a title deed for that? Well, I know. I don't own nothing down there. I'm just going down there and see if I can't do whatever I can do to give it. He said, son, let me tell you this. I wouldn't go after anything but what I already wasn't assured that God had given it to me. Everywhere he stepped, he said, that's yours. I want you to know that's yours. Huh? That's what he said to Caleb. He said, everywhere your foot steps, it's yours. That's why he went to Joshua when he's handing out the land. He said, hey, that mountain's mine. God said it was. I got the deed to it. Don't you love it when the Lord just hands it to you and says, here, that's yours. That's yours. Nah, I've preached this here 100 times. And the reason why I do have is because I love to preach it. What better illustration than when I told you, remember when I was in school and studying and the guy came in to me and told me he had a Dear John letter and I didn't know John. I just said, what's that all about? Remember that? He read that letter and man, the more he read, the more I liked. I didn't know her. Never been nowhere near her. From the mountains of North Carolina. He got done reading that letter. I said to him, you got a picture of her? He wasn't real bright, I don't guess. He said, yeah, he ran and got it. I've still got the picture. He brought that to me. Now, I'm telling you, I ain't no Benny the Hen or none of that. But I'm going to tell you something. This happened to me. The Holy Ghost, it's only a few times like this, this powerful it's happened. The Holy Ghost said to me, that's your wife. I pulled that picture down, looked at him, I said, when's the next time you're going home? He said, he never asked me why. 2 weeks later, went up to that little later pastor of that church, and she was 18 years old, playing that piano in that church. Don't ask me what she was playing. Don't ask me what they were singing. I got no idea what they was preaching. I went up there to see what God showed me. And I said, you're right, God. She looks good. And I dated her twice. Asked her to marry me. I was going to on the first date, but I was afraid she'd think I was jumping the gun. I didn't want to really yoke that. But why not? I knew it. I knew it. God pointed her out, and here's what he said. She's yours, boy. And I had no doubt asking her. I knew she'd. God already gave her to me. That's marvelous, ain't it? Huh? Said, boy, I'm going to tell you something. If God didn't point it out and you don't have no deed to anything, he ain't give you nothing down there, you ain't got no business being there. And he said, the third principle I want to ask you is God going with you? Abraham didn't want to go anywhere God wasn't going. Moses didn't want to go anywhere God wasn't going. Elijah didn't want to go anywhere God. I don't want to go anywhere where God ain't leading. We're going to travel the ups and downs and the ins and outs and the curves of roads and life and everything else. And we're going to see a bunch of stuff all along the way. But we're going to be careful. Stop and find out how God sees it. And find somebody godly and he'll have somebody godly in your life and find out how they're looking at it.
Amen.
And they'll be able to tell you some things out of their experience with the Lord that'll keep you from making a terrible mistake. Are you seeing what I'm saying? Huh? Thirdly, I would say to you, if Lot is going to make this decision based upon choice in his goings and comings, he just happens to come upon that place and see that. He not only ought to have seen things as God saw them and saw things as Uncle Abraham saw them. I think it would have done well for him to have seen things like Sodom was seeing them. Do you really want to go there? Don't you think, Lord, it would be a good idea if you didn't appoint one of your servants or two and send them down to Sodom and Gomorrah and see how they see things? What is their view on Jehovah? What is their view on faith? What is their view on the divine God who created everything? How do they feel about righteousness? How do they feel about holiness? Well, it wouldn't take them 15 seconds to find that out. They wouldn't even have to ask any questions. Have you read about Sodom and Gomorrah, what was going on down there, as I read to you? I mean, they could have felt it before they ever got there. But then if they went and began to interview people and say, listen, my master sent me down here and he's fixing to make a move and he came with his uncle Abraham, which is a godly man. Listen, don't be talking all that stuff down here in Sodom and Gomorrah. We don't believe all that. Matter of fact, we don't mix religion with government down here. You just don't be talking like that. And I imagine after they saw the wicked, the Bible, the scripture everywhere talks about how wicked that place was, how corrupt that place was, how ungodly that place was. I mean, they were so blind, they could not, they thought angels were men. Uncle Abraham didn't have no problem with that. He could decipher that. He knew when God was around. They didn't have sense enough to know God was coming around, and they didn't know it. To them, good was bad, and evil was righteous. They saw everything contrary to how God saw it. And Uncle Abraham saw it, and how really Lot saw it, because he was a righteous man, the Bible said. Somebody needs to run back up there and say, Lot, please don't go down there. I'm going to tell you, that is an abomination to God. Stay away from there. Kind of reminds me of what's coming out of Washington. Wickedness in abundance. A hate for God and righteousness and holiness. Despising God's people and despising the church. And if you don't believe that, look how they treated poor old Lot when he got down there. He's trying to protect those men, angels, and they said, listen, buddy, let me tell you something. You're not even from around here, and we'll handle you worse than we will handle them. You don't come down here, and he said, you're not judging us. That's what this world cries out in the midst of their wickedness. You're judging us. No, we're not judging you. There's condemnation from God Almighty, and that's what's making everything so miserable. A man or a woman who lives in wickedness and vileness will always try to blame their condition on somebody else. But I'm going to tell you where the reason why they're feeling like they're feeling is they're walking contrary to everything God ever made man to be. And there's a condemnation within them, as Paul said in the book of Romans. What a vile place, corrupt place, contentious place. Did you read about how contentious they are? Lot, don't make this move based upon sight until you see things like God sees them, until you see them like Uncle Abraham sees, and then you go down there and check out how they're seeing. Do you want to live in that? But the last thing I would say to you, along the life's journey, haven't we seen so much that has affected our lives? Some things we probably wish we hadn't seen, but I'm going to tell you, there's some things There's some things you have to see. You must see. If you're going to live beyond this life, as far as heaven is concerned, you must see the cross.
Amen.
You must see Jesus.
Yes, Jesus.
You must see the truth.
Amen.
You must see that. But I think lastly, the heart of the matter is that if Lot is going to make a choice based upon the goings and comings, based upon sight and the goings and comings and went and came, he needs to see how Lot's seeing it. In every choice in life, I think we ought to get in front of a mirror and ask ourselves, what am I seeing? What is it that I'm seeing? He should have just went before a mirror and looked at himself. I mean, he needed to get personal with this matter. Instead of looking telescopically way out there, he needs to turn it microscopically in here. Because here's where everything's viewed from that hurts us. He should have just paused for a minute and looked at himself and looked and said, look at me, Lot. Look right here, Lot. I'm talking to you, Lot. What is it you're looking at? What are you seeing? Do you really know what you're seeing? Are you aware of what you're looking at? And he could have asked himself this question. Is what you're seeing, listen how word this, is what you're seeing keeping you from seeing what you need to see? He's so busy looking out there that he's missed everything in here.
Yeah.
Well, that's where the vision needs to be, first of all. Yeah. You say, well, what is he missing in here? So much. Read the text. So much that he's missing. I think, first of all, he's missing the pride. And where there is pride, there's going to be trouble down the road. Look at that prodigal son I preached on standing on the front porch talking to his daddy like he talked to him. We, in our view, ought to first of all have eyes from a heart of humility. Did you notice what he said? Abraham came to him. Now, Abraham is the father of faith, friend of God. Everything that Lot has come through Abraham. The Bible continually said that Lot went with Abraham. Abraham didn't go with Lot. Lot went with Abraham. And so when Abraham came to him and said, look, you know, we don't want no trouble out of this as far as the herdsmen and stuff's concerned. We need to settle that. And he said to him, did you notice how he said to him? He said to this young man, he said to his nephew, you choose where you want to go. You can have the pick of the, you can have it, and then I will choose after you. Now my problem with this is that what Lot should have done is he should have said, Uncle Abe, everything I've got's because of you.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to make my decision first.
Yeah.
What I want you to do is I want you, whatever you want, Uncle Abe, I'm going to tell you something. My whole life I owe to you. My connection to God I owe to you. I'm not going to be the decider in this. I'm going to humble myself down. I will not go first. Honey, if you're out in front of somebody in the decision that you're gotten to make and you're trying to beat them on it, you're going in the wrong direction, I promise you. If you're trying to get it before somebody else does, you're going to end up in misery. God will make sure of that. If you're not going to humble yourself, He will humble you. And He'll use what you're seeing to humble you. And it is here he is refusing to take second place and bow down to the man who has basically given him a chance in life. I could have stood right there beside him. I wouldn't have known nothing about Sodom and Gomorrah. I wouldn't know much about Lot. I wouldn't know much about... But I said to him, son, I'm going to tell you something. With an attitude like you've got, wherever you're going, it's going to be bad. It's going to be terrible. He never looked on the inside to see his pride. Boy, isn't that the danger in all of our hearts, to see things through our pride. Well, I can be first in that. I can accomplish it. I'm going to get out there in front of pride and arrogancy. The second thing he didn't see was his privileges. I mean, buddy, are you not thankful for who you get to live with? Who you get to walk with? Who you get to pray with? Who you get to sit down and whose table you would eat? Do you not realize what has come your way from God Almighty, out of a man that God Almighty has called and touched and filled? It has brought the abundance into your world. Never get to the place that you're not thankful for what God has given you. Through those that he's placed in your life. And you have benefited from their teaching, from their preaching, from their prayers, from their raisings, from their giving, from their loving, from their forgiving. I mean, they have done it all. And how foolish would it be for us just to turn and say, I don't need all of that. Oh, Uncle Abe, we'll see you later, buddy. What? You're going to walk away from that? Now, here's what I think I would have said. Now, I hope I would have said this. Hey, Uncle Abe, I just fired my herdsman, and you can have all my cattle. I ain't going nowhere. I'm staying right here because I'm staying with you, and I'm staying with God. Wouldn't that have been wonderful? He's going to lose it all anyway. He's going to lose it all anyway. And his whole family and everything. Because he didn't realize how privileged. Do we realize in America, look at the hell that this place is turning into, because we have, I mean, America's being blinded to the privileges that we have because of our godly heritage. And revivals of the past, and the word of God being preached, and mamas and daddies and saints that have loved God. And it's like, it means nothing. Oh, well, we're going in a different direction. Oh, yes, you are. And honey, just as Sodom and Gomorrah was burnt to the ground, I'm in the opinion America is going to burn to the ground because we've rejected all that God has given us through the years. Handed down through his people. How many sermons, how many prayers, how much love, how much gospel has been poured out on this nation? And folks don't realize how privileged it is. You say, how you know? Because I'm going to tell you something. If folks realized really what they were walking away from, this building would not be a seat open. As a matter of fact, we'd have to put a tent outside the building. Because you'd have a bunch of people saying, I'm not walking away from that. I'm not walking away from that. If Lot's going to make that choice based upon sight, he needs to see what he's seeing in his pride and his rejection of his privileges. But he needs to see, and I'm closing. He needs to see. Lot needs to stand in that mirror, needs to see the outcome of his choice. Something that we could have predicted. Haven't you ever looked at a young man and he told you what his plans were and if he'd have listened, you'd have said, well, I'm going to tell you this, 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 and this is what's going to come out of that. And that may not happen tomorrow and it may not happen next month and not happen, but... And you feel helpless to be able to help someone like that because they're going, as I said last night. But here's the thing about it. You could set them down and you could predict the outcome. I could predict the outcome. Now, here's my thought that I want to cap this with and close it. You see, Lot could have asked himself, what do you see? Is what you're seeing what you keeping you from seeing what you really need to see? But here's what I want you to see. I want you to see. Was Lot would ask himself, is what you're seeing really going to be what you see? When you see it. Are you understanding what I'm saying? You're looking from here down there. But have you ever noticed his view from down there back? As he's leaving? He went out. And I think Lot would have said what we don't ever want to have to say. I don't want to get there. I don't want to get where I'm going. Through my sight. My feelings, my perspective. I don't want to get where I'm headed. And see firsthand that it ain't nothing like I thought I saw. Isn't that something? Well, I wouldn't have married him if I could have seen this. Have you heard that? Now, I'm not being critical. I'm just giving an illustration. Well, I wouldn't have married her if I had any idea it was going to be like this. I'd have never done it. Don't you know that Lot mourned over that day that he altered his life based upon what he saw along the way without talking to God, without talking to Abraham, without talking to himself. And getting there and realizing that what he is seeing, what I am seeing is nothing like what I thought I saw. But it's too late. But here. Here's the joyous thing about that. I got saved as a 14-year-old boy. That's been almost 55 years ago. Now, there've been some bumps in the roads. There've been some ups and downs. There've been some curves. I'm not saying there hadn't been some heartache and pain and sorrow. But I'm going to tell you something. After 55 years, it's still looking like what I thought I saw. I'm not saying, man, if I knew it was going to be this way, I'd have never come this route. Trust Christ, I don't know, I made a mistake there. Preach the gospel, wish I hadn't gotten that misery and mess. No, 55 years. And I'm going to tell you something. From what I saw from the gospel perspective, from the Holy Ghost perspective, from the Word. I mean, the reality of what the Word of God told me that was in life with Christ, with all of its ups and downs, with all of its pain or suffering, and all of its joy and happiness, I'm standing before you right now 55 years later, and I want to say to the young people that's here, it's just like what I thought I saw. I ain't interested in turning around. I ain't sorry for where I've come to. I'm not somewhere mourning and said, oh, if I hadn't have followed Christ. I wouldn't be. Oh, no, no, no. Woo! Look where I'm at!
Thank you, my
amen. Start Florida. Staying in a very nice camper. Being fed like a criminal on death row. Every meal. Huh? Coming and being amongst God's people and listening to this singing and these prayers and this worship and this abrupt testimony coming out of the heart. Pretty well what it looked like to me. Now, don't misunderstand me. That book had already told me this journey wasn't going to be easy. And there'd be some ups and downs. I'm not discrediting any of that. I'm going to tell you something. I'd a whole lot rather die where Abraham died than I would where Lot did.
Amen. Yes.
And you could ask Abraham, so what are you doing here? He said, oh, God sent me here. What is this? It's mine. God gave me the title deed. Huh? I just want to close it out like it began. Looking at things God's way.
Amen.
Enjoying seeing things like God's people see them. And keep on checking my heart and making sure I'm seeing it like it needs to be seen. Because I don't want to get down to the end, drawing my last breath and saying it ain't nothing like I thought it was going to be. What's that song? Well, it wouldn't take nothing for my journey now. But heaven by the blood, that's how. Oh, the devil tempts me and tries to turn me around. It's looking good from here.
Amen.
Fixing to hit 70 and it's still looking good. I want to see it from God's perspective.
Yes.
Because that's the one that's going to count.
Amen.
When it's all said and done.
That's right.
Lot saw some things. Abraham saw some things. We're all going to see some things. It's just how we see them. A long life's journey. The divine perspective. Lord Jesus, we thank you for the revelations of heaven that have kept us on track from day to day to show us, reveal to us, and guide us in life's journey toward heaven. Thank you, Lord, for your book, your word. Thank you, Holy Ghost, for your revelations. Thank you, Jesus, for your salvation. Thank you for what you've let us see. I want to thank you for what we've seen tonight. And I can't wait for what you're going to show us next. In Jesus' name we pray, and for his sake.